You're listening to the Nuff Said podcast, real strategies for customer success.
Hey, this is Chris, co-founder of Nuff Said, and on today's show, we talked to Dickie, the CEO of Cast App, about why most low-touch models aren't effective. And here's what we learned. One, you just can't create great low-touch experiences by automating content. Two, it's best to start by taking the most effective high-touch programs and then figuring out how to automate them. Three, it's important to empower low-touch CSMs with both productivity and automation tools. And four, upsells and cross-sells should still continue to be a big focus, even in the low-touch model. So that's the TLDR. Let's jump in.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dickie Singh, and I'm the co-founder and CEO of Cast App, a company laser-focused on scaling customer success, renewals, and revenue expansion. I'm delighted to be here with you right after Thanksgiving.
Awesome, Dickie. It's great to have you joining us today. And, you know, the low-touch customer success program is interesting. It's very, lots of companies are focused right now on doing more scaling in their customer success. But in your view, low-touch customer success programs are broken today. So what's your philosophy behind how to effectively scale customer success?
It's a very interesting question, and I get that a lot. Let's take a look back at customer success. Why did customer success become important? One reason is that it is easier to retain and upsell to existing customers than acquire new ones. The cost of acquiring new customers is 6.4 times the cost of retaining and upselling to existing customers. This metric comes from Bain. Of course, the product should work, and the customers need to find continuous value from our products to keep renewing and buying more features, products, and services. But there is a fundamental shift happening. First, Profitable did some interesting analysis. The cost of acquiring new customers has increased 60% in the last 5 years, while the willingness to pay for features have dropped by 30%. Second, because of the increased competition and easier to onboard, use, and adopt products, the time, money, effort, and emotional cost associated with switching from one product to another continues to fall. Third, most SaaS businesses targeted an ARPA of hundreds of thousands of dollars. With PLG and self-service products, that's changing to serving more accounts at the ARPA of tens of thousands of dollars. Or as Chris Chans from Point Nine Capital would put it, a shift from elephant hunting to deer hunting. Now, with lower switching costs, rising acquisition costs, lower ARPA, coupled with lower willingness to pay means as your CAC goes up, your profitability goes down. Therefore, you need to serve more accounts to sustain as a SaaS business. To me, that means that we have to provide a magnitude higher value and return on investment to our customers. That also means that we have to scale customer success. In the last decade, we scaled reactive customer service. In this decade, we have to scale proactive customer success and revenue expansion.
So I think lots of companies have realized that they need to introduce more of a scaled approach, meaning automation, self-service. So what specifically is broken about today's implementations of that model?
If you look at today's models of tech touch, what are they really doing? They are sending automated emails and automated PDFs of reports. And when is the last time you opened an email or looked through like a PDF and understood everything that the vendor is telling you? It's very hard. And that's why like people rely on presentations being made to them and going deeper, understanding what it is. We tend to overwhelm our customers with like 20 recommendations. Every day you get a new, do this, do this, do this. At the end of the day, you know, the customers turn off the emails that you're sending them because you're not sending meaningful content. You're just overwhelming them with content. Same thing with dashboards. We overwhelmed our customers with dashboards. Now we are overwhelming them with emails and reports.
Yeah, that's sounds very true. If I think about programs that I've seen other people implement. So how do you take a working, effective, high-touch model and then apply some of the same fundamentals to a low-touch model that creates a good experience for customers?
This is a great question. And I might add, it's not that straightforward and easy, right? But the ROI is amazing. In other words, even if you start with a couple of use cases and implement them, you get a rewarding ROI. So if you step back and look, like, our customers have several interactions with our business. So all customer interactions, you know, kind of have to be positive, whether you're talking to a salesperson or CSM, a support person, or like office hours with an exec, or even digitally on the website or in your product. Now, CSMs can maintain these intimate relationships with customers when you have named CSMs and a small portfolio of customers. The problem is you cannot replicate white glove experiences in environments when you have several customers, like in thousands of millions, or especially when you don't have that many CSMs for all those accounts. So automating even the top positive interactions, or, you know, what the industry calls moments of truth or emotional experiences, can be like very financially rewarding. For one instance, is like if you have playbooks that work for one-on-one named accounts, consider digitizing the top few. These could be like automated. You could send a notification directly to the customer. You could send a notification directly to the CSM. You could send an explanation, ask the customer to like fill some forms. So any way that you can think of, but taking the top few playbooks that really work, you can scale. But I must add, not every interaction can be or should be automated. With like, you know, several workflow-based automation tools, and I'm thinking of like Braze and Autopilot that work very well for prospect marketing, you can take several complex multi-step interactions resulting from a playbook trigger and then automate them. So it's the same kind of philosophy, but what works for prospect marketing may not work for customer marketing. So when you start, you don't have to boil the ocean. A lot of people think like, you know, let's automate everything. You don't have to do that. You can start by automating maybe just the QBR, or, you know, we call that the digital business review, or like one playbook for a specific segment. And then you can iteratively go digitize additional playbooks or additional segments. But it's always good to start small, understand how your market responds, and then take it further. And very soon you can kind of end up with your own sophisticated automated engine that works for your business and your users, and freeing up CSMs to be strategic advisors, what they signed up for.
The concept of automating a playbook that comes from a high touch model, I think will be very attractive to both high touch and low touch segments. Can you think of an example of a playbook that you've seen automated in the high touch that's worked actually across both segments?
Yes, I'll give you an example and also give you a problem associated with it, right? A lot of times when customer health drops a number or you see it spike or something, we usually create automation going out to the CSM. And then the CSM goes in and looks in into the data and say, oh, this was a false positive or whatever, right? But if you want to digitize that, one difference would be, yes, digitize based on like customer health, but look at the metrics that made up that customer health to digitize that. In other words, you have leading indicators and you have lagging indicators. Look at both, use a weightage or so, but it doesn't have to use the same thing that you use to calculate the CH, but look at various components to trigger. Like if, for example, if customer score drops, there may be two metrics, they might be canceling out each other. So you may never see that metric, but if you look at the metrics that make up the customer health, it's very easy to automate that particular part because you know exactly what to send to the customer or what to send to the CSM, depending on the use case.
Nice. And you've talked about, you know, when you're thinking about tooling for the low touch model, you've talked about productivity versus automation tools. You speak about them differently. And I think a lot of people might think of them as the same thing. So what's the difference in your mind?
Yeah, I'm going to give you an example, but very broadly before we go in, Slack may be a really good productivity tool, whereas like Braze or Autopilot may be very good automation tools. Yes, both are kind of needed. But in the spirit of like, you just crossed like Thanksgiving, right? I'll give you an example. So there's a group of us, five families, who feed the homeless at Glide Memorial Church in San Francisco every year. And there's a lot of food prep, cooking, hauling the food to San Francisco, serving and cleaning. So every year, 20 chefs spend a lot of hours making flatbread that kind of looks like tortillas, right? They may have the best knives or the best utensils, to make that productive. But if you think about it, like flatbread isn't even the essential part of the entire meal, right? I'm kind of thinking about like the meats, the vegetables, and the desserts, right? So what we did is one of the years we invested in a tortilla making machine. So instead of 20 folks making those flatbreads, one person could use this product to create flatbreads for almost everyone. And the remaining 19 chefs could focus on improving the quality of the vegetables, the meats, the desserts. And we added more items to the menu and we got so many thank yous and blessings, I should say, from these people, right? So without productivity and automation tools, our CSMs are just flipping flatbreads. Productivity tools save hours for CSMs, helping them do more with less. And you typically measure ROI as a percentage for productivity tools. But everything adds up, right? For using Monday.com over an Excel spreadsheet may give you a 20% boost in productivity. And we talk about like 20% increase in productivity, which may mean like the CSM can support 20% more accounts. But if you look at automation tools, obviously they go beyond saving hours, right? You're helping every segment with, in this case of CSMs, like renewals, expansion, recommendations, and a lot more. And these automation tools do require an investment in learning how to use the tool so as to maximize the gain, but you get a magnitude higher ROI. And 10x to 40x increase in ROI is possible with automation tools like, you know, Braze and Autopilot. That's for prospect marketing, but those are real numbers. Again, automation hour is not for everyone. If you're making like 20 flatbreads only, or you're just serving 20 accounts, automation may be an overkill. And if you're just storing the data in Excel spreadsheets, it may be way too early for you to look at automation tools.
This might be related or it might not, but I'm curious what your thinking is. How do upsells and cross-sells work in a low-touch model?
It is a very controversial topic. When you say like who should own upsells and cross-sells, we agree that renewals and add-ons most of the time belong to CSMs, but should upsells and cross-sells be with CSMs or should they go into sales, right? I've kind of seen all extremes and usually it depends on whether the company has a strong CRO or a strong CCO and what's the relationship between the CRO and the CCO. And also depends on how big are the upsells and cross-sells. You know, cross-sells could be a totally different product that you have, and upsell could be small, who knows, or could be really big. I've kind of concluded that I'm comfortable with it depends answer. It's not a cop-out because I've seen so many customers have different opinions. At the end of the day, it does not matter who swipes the credit card because the customer account is one, right? The last thing I would want is an account manager coming out of hibernation right before a renewal update or like same like, you know, CS teams become activated right just a few months before. So I think Wayne McCulloch in his book, Seven Pillars of Customer Success, he introduces these terms called upselling and cross-selling, which is, by the way, I highly recommend that book, which is essentially, you know, even though CSMs are not making the sale, they're influencing that sale. They're telling people what to get. And your question was, how do you scale that? So the way you scale those upsells and cross-sells is by making relevant recommendations and making those recommendations not to the entire account, but to the person who has the renewal authority, to the person who has the upsell and cross-sell authority. And it's just getting a little bit of data about your user. You can, instead of giving like 20 recommendations to an account, you can give two or three recommendations, different one to the C-level guy, different one to the VP person, and different one to that individual contributor who's working on that email campaign, right? So all three of them feel that they got two or three recommendations that are very useful to them instead of, you know, people rolling the eyes on 17 out of 20 recommendations, for example. So look at this podcast. We were talking about scaling CS and post-sales. Several of your listeners may have additional questions and feedback, and they may want to connect with us. Similarly, we can scale post-sales by making inbound easier. We can show highly relevant and personalized calls to actions or personalized recommendations to the right user at the right time in their journey of using our products. The right time to ask for an upsell or renewal may be right after a positive moment of truth. Moments of truth, according to Wayne again, are emotional experiences or interactions we have had with our customers. The right call to action coupled with a moment of truth and personalized for the right user is what I am calling personalized moments of action. So personalized moments of action are well thought through data-driven recommendations driven by usage, personas, journey stage, needs, segment and cohort, user level desired outcomes, shared when the user is engaged and has had a positive moment of truth.
Awesome. And Dickie, obviously you've spent a lot of time thinking about high touch versus low touch and how to make low touch a more effective overall program, automation, productivity. So for people who are listening in, I assume that Cast app helps automate or helps companies roll out low touch models in an effective way. So for people that are interested in learning more about your company, where should they go after listening to this podcast?
Yeah, you can reach me at Dickie Singh on LinkedIn. And so what Cast.app does, we automate several interactions that you have with your customers in the low and the no touch models. And we do that by using the concept of virtual CSMs, which are very similar to human CSMs, but ultra-focused on accounts where you do not have human CSMs.
Amazing. Well, thank you for joining us today, for sharing your thinking about low touch, as many of us are planning and thinking about our low touch models in 2022. So I really appreciate you joining us and sharing your knowledge and wisdom with us today and helping us level up.
Thank you so much, Chris, for having me. It was a wonderful conversation.
And that's it for this week's episode of Nuff Said. To learn more about Nuff Said's proactive intelligence platform, you can visit nuffsaid.com. That's nuffsaid.com. And you can follow Nuff Said on LinkedIn. To tune in to more real customer success strategies, head over to your podcast platform of choice and make sure you're subscribed. Thanks for tuning in. Nuff Said.